My guest at this time is former Arkansas Republican Congressman Asa Hutchinson. He also served in the George W. Bush administration as Undersecretary for Border and Transportation Security at the Department of Homeland Security. He's been involved in a number of projects recently. In fact, he's just wrapped up being the co-chair of the Constitution Project Task Force on Detainee Treatment. And he has also just wrapped up work helping to forge a school security policy through the National Rifle Association. And if that weren't enough, he's also announced within the past few days that he is running for governor of Arkansas in the year 2014. And, sir, thanks very much for taking some time to be with us.
Well, thank you. It is good to be with you and talk about these subjects.
What was the goal of this report?
Well, we started this 2 years ago, and the goal was to look how our nation handled detainees in the war on terrorism after 9/11 all across the globe, whether it is the what they call the black sites or whether it is in Afghanistan. And so we have two former generals on the task force. We've got distinguished career public servants who have looked at this. And it's bipartisan or nonpartisan. We've got people coming together trying to look at this and really addressing some fundamental questions. You know, did our nation, in fact, engage in conduct that constituted torture, which is a very important question. And then secondly, if so, how did it happen? And then what can we learn from it from the future? So those are some of the things our report covers.
And what's the critical finding on what detainee treatment has been like? Obviously, over the past dozen years, there's been a lot of different opinions on that. What did you find in actuality?
Well, we've used a lot of different terminology from enhanced interrogation techniques. But in fact, when as applied, in many instances, regretfully, our forces did engage in what would generally be accepted as torture. And so it's really indisputable that that's what happened. As to how that happened, you had everything from lawyers' opinion to messages being sent down to take the gloves off. All of these things combined for an environment in which torture was committed. And this is strictly against what our nation stands for. It's a violation of the Convention Against Torture, which was signed under Ronald Reagan as president. And so that's the critical finding. But we also make some recommendations for the future, from the role of the medical profession to the International Committee of the Red Cross to making sure that we follow the Code of Military Justice and the Geneva Convention. So these are all parts of the recommendations.
Would you describe the mishandling of detainees as rampant, sporadic, relatively rare? How common was it?
Well, the problem is that for the first time it came a matter of policy. And whenever the top sets the policy that we're going to engage in this treatment, then it becomes a much more difficult matter. It's not the exception anymore. And so when it's a matter of policy, it's even a greater concern for a country. Now, I can understand fully the post-9/11 environment because I was there, and our objective was to prevent the next terrorist attack. We didn't want this to happen again. But we can make bad decisions even with the best of intentions. And so while we look carefully as to how this happened as a nation, and lawyers looked at it, and they got bad information on how these techniques were going to be applied. They gave the president what our judgment is bad advice that was subsequently repudiated. And so these are some of the ways that the policies were initiated that led to a bad result.
Last question on this topic. Have you got much reaction from Congress, the White House, Department of Defense, Homeland Security, anything like that?
Well, enough response to give us hope that this is not going to be a report that sits on the bookcase, which happens many times. And so we're delighted that people are paying attention to it. And it's something that, you know, we try to turn the page on in our country, which we understand completely, but we've got to get it right as a nation, because nothing defines you more as a country than how you treat those people that are in your custody. And so we're hopeful that Congress will take a look at this carefully, as well as the administration.
One other issue you've been very prominent on is working recently with the National Rifle Association in an effort to boost security, and specifically armed security, in our nation's schools. Obviously, this was an initiative undertaken in the wake of the Sandy Hook tragedy, but it's one that's also been talked about even prior to that. You've said recently that you're disappointed that those concepts didn't make it into the Senate version of the legislation, but it looks like the Senate Democrats are having plenty of trouble getting their own ideas through right now. So how optimistic are you that the issue of school security will ultimately be considered, whether it's in the House, eventually brought up in the Senate? What do you think?
Well, the good news, it's being considered by every local school district in our nation. This is a local issue. They are driving the train. They're improving security. They're taking steps. The states are addressing it. What happens at Washington is not going to make a big difference in the safety of our schools. They have a pittance of money that's looked at school safety, and the rest of their initiatives from on the gun control side really does not have an impact on the safety of our schools, because as we've seen demonstrated, whether it's a knife or whether it's a legal firearm, there's always a risk in our society today. Until we get those problems solved, you've got to improve safety.
One thing that Wayne LaPierre said right in the wake of Sandy Hook is that he wanted Congress to fund this. Is that something the NRA is moving away from? You seem pretty optimistic that the states and local authorities can handle this.
Our recommendation was that the federal government has a role to play in innovation projects, technology, and training. And so I think there's $40 million in the Senate proposal that is a good start. We're glad that they're doing that. We support that. But it's not going to cover personnel costs, which are absorbed by the local schools. And the key thing we offer through our National School Shield are best practices. We want to have online tools that school districts can access without going through the federal government and without costing them a lot of money. They would be free tools. Now, these are recommendations to the NRA. We're waiting on them to actually accept those recommendations and hopefully move forward with those projects.
And there's no rest for the weary here. In our last 60 to 90 seconds, you've also announced in the past week that you intend to run for governor of Arkansas, your home state, in 2014. What factors led you to make that decision?
The engagement on these public issues just rekindled the fire for public service that I have. We love the state of Arkansas, and we think there's great opportunity here. It's an open seat, and so we had to finish these projects of the detention task force. It's been 2 years in the works. This was so important after Sandy Hook with the school safety, but now I can devote attention to this important opportunity. We're learning that the governors is who really are shaping national policy and helping, whether it's health care policy or whether it's education. They're really the leading innovators, and that's exciting to me.
Well, it's going to be an exciting year and a half, and potentially many more years if that campaign is successful. Congressman, thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Former Arkansas Congressman Asa Hutchinson, he co-chaired the Constitution Project Task Force on Detainee Treatment. He also recently led the National Rifle Association's efforts to boost security in the public schools, and he's now a candidate for the Republican nomination for governor in Arkansas in the year 2014. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.